One of the things that is so very beautiful about Lent is the plethora of beautiful readings from both the Old Testament and the New Testament that are not usual in the regular parts of the year. And of course, this week we have been visiting with Saint Ezekiel, the prophet, a prophet who suffered much for the sake of the truth, though he predicted but did not know Jesus Christ. And so we are very, very blessed that we do know Jesus Christ. But in the reading from Saint Ezekiel, as you have followed, hopefully, in your own missals, we see a lot of the doctrines that are there are similar or exactly the same as the doctrines which our Lord Jesus Christ and the Church still preaches. And so the mercy that we have for the poor and those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who are in prison, so forth, that is all there. It is not anything new to the New Testament. And of course, for those who reject the Old Testament, and there are many, and or they think of it as a much lesser thing, they're totally wrong. It is the Word of God. And then in the Gospel of today, we have a continuation of that same idea. Jesus is going to Tyre and Sidon, the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which was a pagan land, by the way. It was not, it was what more or less modern Lebanon is today. And a Canaanite woman, of course, you mentioned the word Canaanite to the Jews, and that's like a dirty word. They hated the Canaanites. And of course, the Canaanites had persecuted the Hebrews when they first came to Canaan, the promised land. It was theirs, not the Canaanites. And so there was a great rivalry, a great hatred between both nations. And so here is very different, and it's very deliberately allowed by our Lord, very deliberately recounted to us by St. Matthew, that a Canaanite woman comes up to him, and she shouts from the distance, "Have mercy on me, O Son of David, O Lord," which is similar to saying, "O God." How did she get this faith, if not from the Holy Spirit? And he was preparing her for the future of her life, because eventually she too and her daughter would become Catholics, and perhaps they also were martyrs. So she shouts, and the apostles are vexed about it. "Turn her away, dismiss her. She's shouting after us." They didn't like that. You know, they did not have the right spirit yet. Not until Pentecost. And so, our Lord basically ignored them. But he says to her, "I was sent, but only to the lost children of the house of Israel." She was not of the house of Israel, though there were many in Tyre and Sidon who he would bring back. And then she says, and he says to her this famous passage, which we read about often, we use often, "It is not good to throw the bread of the children to the dogs." Basically, he's calling her a dog. Now, how about that? You know, people get insulted at so many things that are said to them without even thinking about it. Jesus called this woman a dog. But that did not deter her, because her faith, having come from the Holy Spirit, was stronger than that. So she did not take any offense at that. You and I would, but she did not. And then she says to him, such a beautiful passage, which we ought to well remember always, "Lord, even the little puppies, the little doggies, they eat from the crumbs that fall off the table of their masters." And our Lord, of course, is very pleased by her answer and says to her, "Woman, because of your faith," basically he says, and it's very similar to that which we saw last week or last Sunday, the centurion. "O Lord, Son of David, my son is dying. Just say the word. It is not necessary for you to come, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but only say the word, and my son shall be healed. And our Lord says to her, your daughter will be healed. Your faith. Great is thy faith. Be it done to thee as thou hast asked. And so it is. When we pray with faith, with love for God, and Jesus, of course, is God, and the saints and so forth, then we receive answers to our prayers. But not always do we get the answers right away or the answers that we want right away. And this we see in the lives of the saints. As I was continuing that terribly long biography of St. Peter Canisius that I started last Lent. It's about 1,000 pages, little tiny writing. And there's a lot there to be digested. He was speaking about the many different people who were leaving the church at the time of Luther, and he was trying to bring them back. And one of the things that was very important, of course, the priesthood, in which they didn't really believe. The celibacy of the priesthood and the chastity of the priesthood, which was following Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then, of course, one of the things which should make us think that they demanded, these who were still Catholic but were on their way out the door, they wanted to receive communion from the chalice. Now, you know very well that in many places that is done. That is a Protestant idea that had been abandoned in the early church. First of all, because it was impractical, it caused many sacrileges to happen, but also it was not healthy. The precious blood that I drink is not some kind of disinfectant. It is the precious blood. And so if two people drink from the same chalice and one has the plague, the other one will get the plague. And so it's very important. And this was a great deal of controversy. And during the Council of Trent, this would surprise some people, the Council gave a restrictive permission to some bishops, particularly in Germany and Bohemia, to allow the people to receive from the chalice. And this was a fatal mistake. So even in councils, mistakes are made. So when people complain about Vatican II or whatever, Vatican I too even, there are mistakes that happen. Not every single word of a council is infallible or is guided by the Holy Spirit. But it is permitted by the Holy Spirit. And so all kinds of evils came about, including infections. And people died because of it. So the church immediately shut the doors to that permission which they wanted to receive. And hopefully, wherever that is going on today, they will also shut the door to that permission. And of course, one of the alternatives which is used in the Pauline Rite, which I have used, but I don't do it anymore, because it is very difficult, and also there is a difficulty of spilling the most precious blood, is by intinction. When you dip the host into the precious blood. And one good thing is, you cannot receive on the hand, which is a horrible sacrilege. And the other thing is, that there are, however, difficulties with the spilling of the blood. And so, we don't do it anymore. And so, today, we think about these things. This is the day of the Eucharist, Thursday, the day of the priesthood. And all these things are coming up. Not by coincidence. When I started that book, God knew that tonight I was going to be reading those pages and I would be preaching about it. So it is for our edification, for our education, which priests are supposed to do for their spiritual children, their parishioners. Learn, because there is only so much time in which you have to learn, and then it will be finished. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.